WFSU-FM now presents a delayed broadcast of the February 2nd, 2017 luncheon meeting of the Capital Tiger Bay Club in Tallahassee. This program features well-known Central Florida trial lawyer and possible Democratic gubernatorial candidate John Morgan. It was recorded at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center. And now, to introduce the program, here's Capital Tiger Bay Club Vice President Jeff Ryan.
All right, what a good crowd we have here today. To your installment of your Capital Day, Capital Tiger Bay Club, February 2nd, 2017, also known as Groundhog Day. And the groundhog saw its shadow. And you know what that means? 6 more weeks until all the electric outages in Tallahassee are fixed. Our guest speaker is the legendary lawyer, man about town, John Morgan. We look forward to hearing from you shortly. By the way, have any of you noticed that the Morgan & Morgan building on the corner of Tennessee and Monroe, the Walgreens left that space? And so I'm just wondering, is that a coincidence they left that space? Or maybe are you guys making room for a medical marijuana dispensary? All right, well, in good news, my good friend Alan Williams got a new job. He finally figured out that it pays better to lobby politicians than to be one. Also, he figured out a couple things, and one thing that he actually figured out that he likes the most is he doesn't have to worry about where he lives. He can live, you know, wherever he wants. Here in Tallahassee, our own Andrew Gillum hitched his gubernatorial hopes to that of the Hillary Clinton wagon. Looks like his new motto now will be, all politics is local, and it is. Also, remember when that hurricane blew through town and all the Republicans gave Andrew Gillum such a hard time about screwing around? Well, it turns out they're right. He and his wife, RJ, are expecting a third child in May. So President Thrasher actually weighed in on this, what's going on, and he released a statement condemning Trump's travel ban, saying that if this continues, he is just one tax increase away from becoming the chairman of the Democratic Party. On a national front, President Trump is moving fast on his agenda, and he's hard to keep up with. I think most people know that he plans on moving the embassy, United States Embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. What a lot of people don't realize is he has other plans that he has publicized, and one is to move the White House to Moscow. Also, the president is moving forward with his plans to build the Great Wall of Donald. In response, the president of Mexico canceled upcoming meetings they had, and he said, "Ay, caramba, I get no respect." Need like right now. The famous Hollywood director, Francis Ford Coppola, he did this Vietnam movie called Apocalypse Now, and it was a huge hit in 1979. He is now producing a new film on the 2016 presidential election, and that is titled Apocalypse Right Now. Hold it. Somebody stork took one of my pages. No wonder this isn't as funny as it should be. There we go. All right. Now, on to John Morgan. John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan and Morgan & Morgan and more Morgans has more than you can imagine. He also owns over 5,000 buses. Now, I found his secret plans of what he would do if he was elected. And they were stuffed in this mason jar, and they were hermetically sealed until now. second here. Been sealed here for a long time. Oh, this goes with a special need here. Hold on a second. That's better. The University of Florida will be spotted 3 points in all games of sports. When playing Florida State, the Gators will be spotted 7 points. The new state song will be, "Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw Insurance Companies?" The word "for the people" will be added to the state seal. All ambulances will maintain speeds of less than 35 miles an hour, so they'll be easier to chase. All criminals who are not violent felons will be released immediately, and their voting rights will be restored. That's some good plans there. All right, sorry, my pages got a little bit messed up. I don't know who messed with my pages other than me. Let me just let you know, for finishing up with okay, here we go. Sorry about that. Okay, back on time. All right, so also, here we go. And all we get to, okay, so our, when John Morgan mentioned that he was running for governor, Charlie Barnes got very upset with the fact that here was a man who has never served in public office, has only made his way in private sector, feels that he can be elected governor just because he's made a lot of money. That's crazy talk. And so is this speech. Today, we hope John Morgan will tell us whether he's trying to ride the marijuana train of governorship to the Capitol, or if this is just some kind of game he's playing. Anyway, let me introduce our guest speaker, John Morgan.
Actually, Jeff, you introduced me, and I introduced the speaker. And thank you. Thank you, John, for coming. Thank you for bringing the brownies. You should not have let Jeff have them ahead of time. Forty years ago, sitting around a dorm room, that would have been funny. Several weeks ago, when we reached out to Mr. Morgan to come, I thought introducing him would be a lot of fun. The analogy that he's flirting to running for governor, that Trump's the president, and there's kind of a obvious source of humor there. Then Trump became president, and it's kind of hard to find the humor in that anymore, but I remembered back to what our friend Michelle Obama said, and John's slogan. When he had trouble getting the marijuana amendment passed the first time, he came back. And the slogan is, "When they go low, we get high." But the analogy between him and Mr. Trump is not so clear. I mean, one of them is a rich white guy with a Twitter account, no political experience, running for high office with a very large ego, eccentricities, loves being on television, and likes seeing his name on the side of a building. And the other one, maybe there is an analogy to be made here, but it's not accurate. Because even though he went to the University of Florida, John Morgan does not need spell check on his Twitter account or someone to explain what he really means. He's very good at that himself. Instead of four children by three young wives, John Morgan has four children by one long-suffering and wonderful wife. We might say the Ultima wife. He has no plans to send her back to UF, even if she someday shows a wrinkle. And of course, both are businessmen. Because he does not suffer from narcissistic personality disorder, you'll notice that John's business empire does not all bear his name. Unlike steak Trumps and Trump steaks and Trump vodka and Trump Tower and Trump this and Trump that, John's name is missing from the banks, casinos, International Spy Museum, Wonderworks, other amusements, dozens of hotels and other successful businesses that he owns. He did tell me before I got up here that his name does appear on the stock certificates, so that's important. Closer to home, as Jeff mentioned, it appears that he owns our bus system. He has a lot of buses. His people, for the people, are bus people. Trump is a bust person. I know that's bad. Some of them are just for me. John Morgan is self-made. We should all know he started selling Christmas cards in the second grade. He has not stopped selling since. He worked for Disney. He was Pluto, although I've always thought of him as Goofy. Morgan & Morgan, the business that does have his name and his wife's, has more than 300 attorneys, 1,400 support staff, offices from Fort Myers to Jacksonville to Tallahassee, and is prominent in Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, New York, New Jersey, and his home state of Kentucky. His foundation gives away millions and millions of his own money, understandably not on portraits of himself. He'll get that. He built a 100,000 square foot hunger relief center in Orlando, investing millions of dollars to care for the hungry in his hometown. He spent millions of dollars providing pain relief to those like his paralyzed brother or his cancer-ridden father by funding the effort to legalize medicinal marijuana and getting it passed on the second effort. The Destiny Foundation is a ministry that works with impoverished Florida families, and he does so much more. But on a selfish note, I must note that if he runs, John Morgan is my dream candidate for governor. Three reasons. First, he's self-funding. He would not dream of even asking me to make a donation. That would save me and my friends a good bit. Secondly, he's a major competitor. We do the same kind of law. Shutting down his firm would be a tremendous benefit to my firm. But the most important reason that John Morgan, and I'll get serious here for a minute, the most important reason that John Morgan would be the dream candidate for governor is that he is our last and he is our best hope to keep Charlie Crist from running again. So anyway. So John, if you run, you need a slogan. Something aspirational, something that fits on a hat, something relevant and tailored to your audience. And I know you have that for the people thing going, but we're not the people. Nobody rode a bus here, maybe the print media, but not the rest of us. We're looking to you for change. Our annual Tiger at Bay, we were entertained by a trio of local political hacks ad-libbing offstage. Then we had a meeting with our boring and perhaps slightly dim elected officials commenting on their jobs and responsibilities. So today we turn to you. And I have prepared for you a slogan that embodies our hopes, our aspirations, and it fits on a hat. Please, John Morgan, make Tiger Bay funny again.
That was good. Well, first, I have to apologize in advance because whenever I get in front of an audience, a microphone, I have this irresistible urge, Tourette syndrome-like, to say, if you've been injured in an automobile accident, hurt on the job, or get food poisoning eating this shit, I'm your man. I ain't eating it. How long has that been sitting there? I need a food taster. Barney, come up here and eat this chicken. Barney, come up here and eat this chicken. And yes, I did bring brownies. Scott Maddox told me there'd be no problem, that the Leon sheriff would escort me here, and I was waylaid. So if you want the brownies, they're over at Barney Bishop's office, and you can go knock yourself out. He has unlimited. Jeff, I got to tell you, I used to laugh at the ambulance chasing jokes, but I'm not laughing about them anymore. You thought it was funny. It's not funny, Jeff. Because I'm going to tell you what. In this day and time, sir, I get there way before the ambulance. I got technology that'll knock your socks off, Jeff. Please don't insult me like that. Ben Crump's here today, the famous civil rights lawyer. Ben Crump challenged me. Ben Crump and me are doing business all across America together, and he said to me today, John, if you can make this crowd, this conservative crowd, say amen, I'll tip my hat to you. Please say amen.
Amen.
You owe me money, Ben Crump. You owe me money, Ben Crump. Now look, I'll tell you one quick funny story. Last year, I was going to give a speech to the Lake County Democrats, and the same thing happened to me that happened this week. This week on a Tuesday, I wake up, I look at my iPhone, and the iPhone said on Tuesday, it said Tiger Bay, but it was 9:30, and I was in Lake Mary, and I'm like, oh my God, I've missed Tiger Bay. It turned out that it was a glitch, and I was scrambling, but it reminded me of a story. I'll tell you a funny story. So I'm going to give a speech to Lake County Democrats. It's a Saturday. I've been sitting out by my pool all day long, sunning myself. I have a philosophy in life. Why lay in the sun so much? Brown fat looks better than white fat. So I'm out there sunning myself. I'm getting ready. I got some steaks ready. And all of a sudden, like at 4 o'clock, it pops up and says, you know, speech, Lake County Democrats, 5 o'clock. I'm like, I'm in Lake Mary. I run upstairs. I start shaving. I'm bleeding. I put the GPS in. It's an hour away. I finally called the guy and said, look, you don't have to be here till 7 to speak, I think. Thank God. But still, the night's over. I was getting ready to pour a bunch of Maker's Mark and have some stuff. And so now I'm racing to get to Lake County. This morning I didn't. Before I'd gone to that thing, me and the guy named Jim Messina and Grant Hill went to China, and we decided to have some Chinese suits made, $150 each. And so that night that I was going to go give that speech, I said, you know what, I'm only going to be there for an hour, so I'll just wear one of these Chinese suits. If it looks bad, I'll just throw it away when we get back. So I go out the door. So that thing's popped up like this did on Tuesday, saying Tiger Bay. So I go out the door, and I grab the jacket off the back of the car. I race out to Tiger Bay, or not to Tiger Bay, I race out to Lake County. I get there the last minute. I got, you know, toilet paper all over my face from all the blood. I'm pulling the toilet paper off. I'm throwing it off. I reach in the back seat, and I grab my jacket, and I put the jacket on. When I put the jacket on, I'm like, I couldn't get my arm through. Then I put the other jacket, and I'm like in a straight jacket. I'm like, my God, these Chinese have screwed me. And I take the jacket off, And I look, my son had just graduated from law school, and I had grabbed his Joseph A. Bank suit, jacket. So I did not do that today. I wore my regular suit, so I did not have that emergency. Here's what brought me here today. Medical marijuana brought me here today. 4 years ago, I started this journey to legalize medical marijuana in the state of Florida. I tried two times. When I lost the first time, I told everybody then that I will be back and that I'll win the second time. My wife, Ultima, is a conservative Republican. My wife and I, she's canceled out almost every single vote I've ever made in the state of Florida. People ask me all the time, why do you stay married to somebody like that? My answer has always been the same for 35 years. Look at her. She's hot. I'll put up with a lot of shit. But on medical marijuana, she voted for me. She was with me on that. She agreed with me on that. Donald Trump agreed with me on that. Independents agreed with me on that. And it was kind of like running a statewide race, to tell you the truth. Because all of a sudden, the tax started coming. You know, friends that used, old friends like Barney Bishop started throwing darts at me. Said, what did I do to make Barney mad? There was big flyers, eight color photos that John Morgan wants old people to be dead. I'm like, I'm old. I don't want to die. Why are they saying that? There was pictures of me cussing. Say, John Morgan drunk, cussing. Let me tell y'all something. If every time I cuss, you think I'm drunk every damn day of my life because I cuss. And there were people that were following you around, and it was kind of like running for statewide office. But it was worth it because in the end, we won with 70% of the vote. And it was, thank you very much. And the reason it was important is because I can tell you this, the reason I went back the second time is that so many people would come up to me and say, you have no idea what you're doing for my family. Yesterday, before I came here, a woman came to me and says, my dad has Parkinson. He's 72 years old. He takes the vapor and his Parkinson stops. I do not know why marijuana works. I have no idea. I'm not a marijuana guy. I didn't smoke marijuana in college like Reggie Garcia. I wasn't that guy, but it works. I don't know why aloe works. It works. And one thing that I'm proud of, after two times, and we spent $10 million, and I had to get my wife to sign off on that. The reason it was worth it for me was because day one, 400,000 to 500,000 people are going to benefit day one. The guy who picked me up today, he said to me, he says, "Are you running for governor?" I said, "I don't know. What do you think?" He said, "I hope you do. I'm going to vote for you." I said, "Why?" "Marijuana." And he told me his story. And I could tell you thousands and thousands of stories. So I am proud of that. It thrust me in a position that I'd never seen before. Most of these people who are running for governor, and by the way, I like them all. I'm great friends with Richard Corcoran. I'm great friends with Gwen Graham. I think Bob Graham was the only senator who was right about everything when he was a United States senator, about everything, including Saudi Arabia. These people are my friends, so I'm not the guy. Most of these people have been thinking about running for governor since Key Club. And I've been thinking about running about it since, you know, Christmas. And in a week, I'm leaving for St. Bart's, and you won't see me for a long time. You know why? Brown fat looks better than white fat. But so it does get you thinking about what if. What if you did it? What would you do? What would you change? I was talking to James Carville a couple of weeks ago. I said, "God, it'd be so brutal." I said, just being the marijuana guy, I felt under attack. He said, "That it would be totally different for governor." He said, "John, you can do a whole lot of good, but it comes with a whole lot of hurt. The true stuff is bad enough. The bad stuff, the lies would be even worse." And so that's what you got to think about. So as people started thinking about me running for governor and talking about it, they did polls. And, you know, we now know what polls are all about, so I don't ever get excited about polls. But it does make you start thinking about what you're going to do with life. I read a book one time that y'all might have read before called Halftime. And the book basically is a deal where you get to a certain age and you're in the second half of your life. It's halftime, where you start to move from success to significance. The older you get, you start to think more about the end than about the beginning. Because, you know, nobody wants to die, but everybody wants to go to heaven. And you start to think about that. And I've started thinking about that a whole lot in my second half. And so for me, it's kind of, does this fit my success to significance? Or is it really just an ego trip that might destroy me in the end? Those are the things that I think about. And destroy my family in the process. Those are the things that I think about. Don is right. I am a capitalist with a capital C. I believe that capitalism is why America is the greatest country in the world. I believe that, no doubt about it. I believe that these socialistic countries that exist, they exist because of us. And if we didn't have our strength, and so I when I watched the campaign, I was like, you know, almost there was this socialistic type of bent. Well, you know, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So I'm a Democrat, but I'm a capitalist. Don's right. I have started banks and hotels and casinos and, you know, Morgan & Morgan is everywhere. We're in New York and we're in Philadelphia, we're in Boston, Birmingham. And I'm a junkie. I'm an entrepreneur. I like doing deals. But I am a capitalist, and I don't know if that's different inside the Democratic Party. So let me tell you, when I come here today, what it is that I believe, what I believe. These politicians go on these listening tours. You say, I'm going to go on a listening tour. Every time I hear that, I think, what a bunch of bull****. You know, and you see them listening real hard at the, you know. Not listening to anything. So I said, I'll go on a talking tour. I'll just tell you what I'm thinking. And you go, well, I like that. Or you know what? I wouldn't vote for him, dog catcher. The great thing about the great state of Florida is this. We have the best state in the union. I told one of the marketing guys at the chamber, I said, your slogan needs to be the new California. We have no winter. We have no taxes. We got no earthquakes, and we got great beaches. We got the greatest state in the whole country, in my belief, and I think you all do too. So what we learned in the last election is a lot of things. There was an election on, do we want to elect a crook or a crazy, crass guy? That was our choice. And they both basically stepped in, and the argument was this. It was all about fear, jobs and ISIS. And it got down to that. And we decided to go with the crazy crass guy. I think people make a mistake criticizing him so early. I think people make a mistake wanting to block Supreme. Man, that guy's going to be the Supreme Court justice. Just deal with it. It's going to happen. We can do it. I guess it's good for politics. But, you know, I would just, you know, he was elected. People didn't vote. He's elected. Did I like it? No. I gave my heart and soul to Hillary Clinton. I've been friends with the Clintons forever. Bill Clinton and I talked a couple weeks ago for almost an hour and a half in the car. And that family's been very good to me. I look at the Clinton years. Look what he found. Look what he left. I'm proud that I was part of it. I look at the Obama years. Look what he found. Look what he left. I'm proud of it. Peace and prosperity is always a good thing for me. But what we saw in that last election is that America is afraid. America is afraid. The big issue of the day was jobs. Now, here's one of the things that may eliminate me from your vote right away. I believe that the solution to the problem in the state of Florida and across the country is a fair living wage. People do not make enough money to survive. That food bank I told you about, that we built, we feed 50 billion tons of food a year. We could feed three times that. And the people who come to get it are the working poor. They come in Walmart uniforms and Winn-Dixie uniforms and military uniforms and police uniforms. $7 an hour? Think about it. Now, we've tried everything. But you looked at Bernie Sanders and you looked at Donald Trump, and what did they feed into? They fed into that fear that people are losing hope. People are losing the American dream. Here's how I look at it. A family of four gets up every day and they do the right thing. They wake up in quicksand. You remember quicksand? I used to watch the Rifleman. One time he got stuck in quicksand. Chuck Connors was in quicksand. I said, God, get out. Where's Mark? But when you get in quicksand, there's no bottom. And to me, here's what America's going through. It's like you got a vine. And your wife's hanging on to you, and your kids are hanging on to her. And every day you get up and you pull, and you pull, and you pull, and you pull. And you sometimes get up out of that quicksand, and you start to come up the grass, and you can almost get to the top of the hill. And then transmission goes out. Air conditioner goes out. And you come sliding back into the quicksand. And now you're drowning in the quicksand. 47% of Americans could not put $400 together in case of an emergency. Two-thirds of America live paycheck to paycheck. There's people that I went to high school with at Christmas. I get this thing on Facebook. One of my classmates, she's, I'm homeless at Lake Eola. She was a cheerleader in our high school. She was homeless at Lake Eola. These aren't bums. They don't want to be there. The big fight, what we argue was, we got to get rid of the immigrants. We got to get rid of the illegal immigrants. That is the biggest hoax that's ever been played on America. And let me tell you why. I'm gonna prove it. I'm a lawyer, and when I come to trial, I want to present evidence, and I'm gonna give you some evidence of why it's a hoax. First of all, you can build a wall. That ain't the problem. You need to build a net around Florida because it's really all coming in from Central America. So after you get through building the wall, build a net. But here's why it's a hoax. These illegal immigrants are here to stay. If we wanted to get rid of illegal immigrants, we could do it today. Today. You know how we do it? You make it a third-degree felony to hire one, and you make it a $50,000 fine to keep one. But do you know why that's never going to happen? Because for all their talk and all their rhetoric, we want this free, slave-like labor. Amen. We want that. Now, ask yourself, why is that law not proposed? And I'll tell you why. Because we don't want those people to leave. Because we like paying people off the books and not even minimum wage. Think of the work they do. Think of the work they do. We're close enough to Georgia. Anybody ever here ever thrown watermelons? You ever done that for a day? You ever stripped tobacco, picked tobacco? You ever done that for a day? You ever done construction? Everywhere you go, it's illegal immigrants being paid off the books. We can eliminate it today, but we don't want to because we want that slave labor. You ever seen a guy in your building on a window washing coming down like Spider-Man? All of a sudden, he's up on the window, and you're looking at him on the 30th floor. How much would it take for you to get up there? How much an hour? I wouldn't hold you, but hey, you'll go after me, I got to go after you. The fat guys go after each other. But listen, how much would it take for you to get on that thing? Would you do it for $1,000 an hour?
Yes.
All right. He's lying. No, we wouldn't do it. And the reason we wouldn't do it is because there's jobs that Americans just won't do. And that's why we have those 13 million people. So when you hear about these immigrants, it's BS. The real problem is that we've tried everything in the world, but we've never tried the right thing. And the right thing is to pay somebody fairly for their day's work. If I don't run for governor, I'm going to go back over to John Mills, and we're going to put together a constitutional amendment to raise the minimum wage. I don't know if it should be $10. I don't know if it should be $11. I don't know if it should be $12. But whatever it is, it should be tied to COLA. They make the minimum wage like $6 an hour in the 70s and let it stick forever. That's crazy with inflation. We've tried everything but that. And that would work. Rising tides lift all boats. I believe that our education system, I just got speaking over at FSU, I believe our education system is totally ass backwards. They got kids over there taking classes, 4 years of classes. Think of what you're taking. You know, things you shouldn't ever be. You know, they had me in geometry at Florida. It was like looking at hieroglyphics. I didn't know what was up. Why did they make me take? I had to think of something called The Meat We Eat with Dr. Pete. Looking at marbling of steaks. I mean, I couldn't even, I was eating, you know, hamburger helper. I don't know why I was looking at steaks, and they made me take 3 semesters of Spanish. I mean, here I am 60 years now. I mean, I'm, you know, me I'm a Juan. That's all I got. The university system has us taking all sorts of classes that are never going to be used, ever. But the new age that we live in and the jobs that are being lost to this. The guy who used to grow the trees doesn't grow the trees. And the guy who used to haul the trees doesn't haul the trees. And the guy who used to gas the truck to haul the trees doesn't gas the truck. And the guy who used to shred the trees to make the paper doesn't shred the paper. And the paper, who the guy who used to haul the paper to town doesn't haul the paper. And the people who used to sell the paper at Staples, they don't have Staples anymore. And the people who used to take the paper to the offices, they don't go there anymore. And the secretaries who used to type the paper don't type it anymore. And the people who used to deliver the mail don't deliver the mail anymore. This is the job killer. Our universities should not have us taking the meat we eat and theater appreciation. We should be learning this. There should be Google universities and all over the state of Florida, something that people can get their teeth into and make some money on. Think of all the courses you took the whole time you're there and what it is that was benefiting you now. We put people in prison for buying marijuana. We arrest people for buying drugs. The war on drugs has failed. It's a great failure. If I was king, I would decriminalize marijuana today. Today. People are arrested. They can't go to the military. They can't get into college. They can't get to the next step. The war on drugs has failed. People are arrested for buying drugs. Drug addiction is not a crime, it's an illness. The war on drugs that we should be fighting is the war with the pharmaceutical makers. That is where the real war is, and that's where part of my war goes on every day. Think about the world we live in. Think about the pills we take. Our kids don't sit still in kindergarten. We juice them up with Ritalin. Our kids can't study. We juice them up with Adderall. We're depressed. We take pills. We can't sleep. We take pills. We can't have sex. We take pills. Some people got something called restless leg. I don't even know what it is. People are like, give me some pills for restless legs. We're a nation of pill poppers. And when you come off these pills, when you come off these depression pills, it's like coming off of heroin. Adderall is synthetic cocaine. That's all it is. That's all it is. This war on drugs has failed. There's 14,000 people die every year from OxyContin. The gateway drug is not marijuana. The gateway drug is in your medicine cabinets, and your kids are pulling it out, and it's Oxy, and it's Percocet, and it's Darvocet. The war on drugs has failed in a big way. The gateway drug is behind the counter at Walgreens. We need criminal justice reform in a gigantic way. The Koch brothers are right. We're locking people up. Think about how wrong this is, that prisons are owned for profit. Think about that. Prisons are owned for profit. So if you got a store, you got to get people in. If you got a theater, how do you make money? You got to sell tickets. You got to bring them in. So you cook the books and put them in. We put more people in jail than any country in the world, 18 times more than China per capita. And we look at China like, holy cow, that's a terrible place. We love to lock people up, throw away the key, and ruin their lives for things like, you know, marijuana, possession of cocaine. Let me tell you something. When you lock a dog up in a cage with other bad dogs, that dog comes out mean. It's supposed to be called the correction system. What's being corrected? And then they serve their time and do everything, and their rights are not restored. Their felons' rights are not restored. They do everything. We believe we're a country of second chances. No, we're not. I was with Terry McAuliffe the day he restored felons' rights in Virginia, and I got to meet some of those people. You know what this one man said to me? I've been embarrassed my whole life because I couldn't vote. My children couldn't see me vote. I've been embarrassed my whole life. We got hundreds of thousands of people who've done everything they were asked. They went to the correction system. They were corrected. They came back. They paid their fine. And the nonviolent offenders still cannot have their civil rights restored. I'd do that. Why do we need two terms of governors? I mean, isn't one term enough of these guys? I mean, if I ran, I'd only give you one term, I'm sorry to say. Then I go back to St. Bart's. Up in Virginia, it's a one-term deal, and it works just fine. If you can't get it done in 1 year, you damn sure don't need eight. But this whole thing is really not about us. It's about them. It's about their ego, satisfying their ego. The war on drugs has failed in America, I'm sorry to tell you. But you know the next war that we got going on? That I would be at the forefront fighting? There's a war on teachers going on. There is a war on our teachers going on. All of a sudden, our teachers are the bad guys. Do you know what they make? They don't make and they work like crazy, and then they take their money and they buy stuff for their students, and they buy food for their students. And all of a sudden, they're the enemy, and we're going to have these charter schools. Let me tell you something about charter schools. We watch this Betsy DeVos. All these people want charter schools are these rich people who've had a silver spoon stuck up their ass so far their whole life, their eyes are bloodshot. And they're going to tell us, how teachers should teach. Betsy DeVos plagiarized her application for Secretary of Education. And by the way, Michigan, where the charter schools are, is the worst school systems in America. Because what they would, listen, and by the way, I've had charter school people come to me and say, invest in charter. I'm an investor. I like things. I like to make money. I was real bad in math until they started putting dollar signs next to the numbers. I got real good. I looked at this pro forma for charter schools. There's a lot of money. There's almost as much money in charter schools as for-profit prisons, where we're just funneling this money so rich people can make more. You know what an F school is? An F school is where there's F parents. Think about when your kids were little. I had post-traumatic stress disorder just from trying to get my kids to pass spelling tests. It was one of the most stressful times of my life because I had four of them running around. And that's before we got to math. I just told Ultima, go do the math. I can't. I'll do the spelling. We have Fs, and they say we're going to bring better teachers in. Listen, these teachers in charter schools, they're not even certified. How in the world did we build this great country where everybody flies in from all over the world to be taught by us? How did we build America with all these sorry public school teachers who were underpaid and overworked and never appreciated? How did we do it without charter schools? Listen, the public school system, I moved here from Kentucky, worst day of my life, because, you know, my dad had lost a job. I get down here, terrible home. I'm in the street. I'm like, oh, my God. I still have dreams about it, moving here. But I got into the public school system, and I had great teachers, and I got in the state system. And you know what those teachers in the public school system gave me? They gave me hope, and they gave me purpose, and they gave me opportunity, and they made me. And they made most of you all. And why in the world we're having this war with these teachers is beyond me. Would you tell your daughter or son to be a teacher? I wouldn't. It's not worth the money. So if I ever got into public service, I would be the teacher's greatest advocate. A couple of years ago, there was a lady I had that taught me speech named Joan Zirat. I thought she was dead. And I get a thing in my, it was a article about me in the paper, and I got it, and it came in, it was from Joan Zirat, and she cut out the article, and she wrote, "You go, boy." That was my teacher. I sat at my desk, and I cried. I actually cried. I was like, you know, damn, Joan Zirat's still around. watching me. So I look at this world we live in. I look at this thing on public schools and the fight against teachers. And I look at the meanness and the hatred. And what I would say, if I ever got into this mess, is I would not do what I think is wrong. I would focus on more on what's right than what's wrong. Because there's so much right. There's so much more right than what's wrong. For my daughter's birthday last year, she had one. She said, "I want nothing. Is if I want to see Jimmy Carter teach Sunday school." I was like, okay. So we flew to Plains Sunday morning, lined up, little church, and we got to see Jimmy Carter teach Sunday school. And it was phenomenal. And on the way back home, we grabbed a bag of Crystal, of course, America's Georgia. And we're flying back, and I was kind of talking to my daughter about, you know, my thoughts and, you know, my anxieties. And she said, "You know, Daddy, what you need to do is you need to focus more on gratitude." She's the one that told me, "You need to focus on what's right, not what's wrong." Because all we do is focus on what's wrong. Teachers are bad. Crime's bad. Illegal immigrants. Everything's bad. What's good? Let me tell you something. There's a lot good. There's a lot good. Last summer, me and that same daughter got to go have lunch with the Dalai Lama. And that was cool. And I asked him, I said, "What's the secret to life?" And by the way, he was eating a steak. I said to the monk next to me, he was eating, like, you know, sprouts and I said, is the Dalai Lama eating? "Oh yeah, Dalai Lama like beef." But I said to the Dalai Lama, "What's the secret? What's the secret to life?" He said, "The secret to life is kindness." Where is all that kindness? Listen, when we get to know each other, we really like each other. When you get to spend time for a minute with people, the people you didn't even know or you thought you didn't like. And so I think what this world needs, especially after these last terrible elections and what you watch going on in Washington, is that for us to focus on what is more right than wrong. I have been all over this world. I've been to China. Horrible. Horrible. People looking down. You get off the airport, smog. You know, who wants to go to India again? You ever been there? You ever going back? Uh-uh. Ever been to Europe? It's okay. Can't get ice. Can't get ice. Damn sure can't get AC. I'm laying in a 5-star hotel in Venice, laid up nude, like in a bunk at Wafford, sweating bullets. I'd have thrown ice down my underwear, but I couldn't get no ice to cool myself off in a 5-star, $1,000 a night hotel in Venice. Can't get AC. I went to Ireland. I'm there. Thatch roof, house is burning up. We're all out in the, you know, we're all out in the street. You know, there's a house burning down. If a smoke detector goes off here and the fire department's not the house in 2 minutes, they're going to impeach Gillum. Recall his. It wasn't even a fire. It was just the barbecue blowing in. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was a test. It was a test. There is more right about America than wrong, and there's more right about you than wrong, and there's more good about all of you when we get to know each other than bad. I'm convinced of that. Amen. That's an amen. My politics, if you were to describe my politics is like my religion. I'm not the most religious guy in the world. I do believe in God. I do pray to God all the time. I worry about heaven. I don't ever pray to the God up there with a beard and a head and big long hair up in the clouds. The God that I pray to, the God that I talk to, lives in you and lives in you and lives in you. That is where God is. That's what they told us. That's what I was told. that whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. The Beatitudes. When I do my charitable giving, I kind of go through those Beatitudes. Hunger, thirst, water, clothing, dignity. What's wrong with that? Why can't that be in politics? My religion and my politics is basically the same thing. And it's in the back of every Bible or Torah or whatever religion book you want. Dalai Lama's books. And it's real simple. It's four words. Love God. Love people. You can read the whole Bible if you want. But that's the short story. And that's the story we need to be living. In this world, I go around and I see people and I look at them and I'm like, what is it they're looking for? What is it you're really looking for? And I think what we're all looking for at the end of the day is peace. Is peace. Have you ever found somebody that you look at and they go, boy, that guy, that gal's got peace. And here is the secret to peace. When you go from success to significance in your life. The secret to peace goes like this, and it's a prayer by Mother Teresa, which I'll close on, hopefully right on time. She wrote a book called The Simple Path, and it goes like this. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service to each other. And the fruit of that service is God's peace. And until we meet again, may I wish you all God's peace. Thank you for having me here.
All right, he can take some questions from Tiger Bay members.
Yes.
All right.
If there are any.
I can honestly tell you I did not expect the speech that you gave. It was very thought-provoking. I think you could be a superb governor for the state. But I'd also say I almost hope what you'll decide to do is to carry your message across the state, tell people that you're for Gwen Graham, and give her some of your heart. Because honestly, she has been in public office, and she's made an incredible difference. You have the rest of your life to live. You're investing, obviously, incredibly wisely. You've got a great family. You have Mother Teresa in your corner and the Dalai Lama eating steak. So I just hope that as you're contemplating what next to conquer, how best to be significant beyond the marijuana, which I think all of us, I spent 12 years as a prosecutor, and discovered that kids at 13 who got felonies, who know nothing, who just did stupid things like touching the car handles of cars, they had a third degree felony because that's called an attempted burglary. And nobody gets a Bright Futures scholarship if they got a felony. So my question is, will you be willing and are you going, no matter what, to run against Gwen Graham?
Well, first of all, I would never, ever run against Gwen Graham. I would never run against any of these people. I would only run for what I believe. I would never, listen, let me tell you about Gwen Graham. We call her, my law firm's, now this may hurt her too, we call her my law firm's little sister. She's like, Tom Petty had Stevie Nicks, she was the Heartbreakers' little sister, and Gwen Graham is our little sister. I love Gwen Graham. Sometimes late at night, we see who can out-emoji each other on Facebook back and forth at 1:30 in the morning. And I love her, and I can't think of a bad thing to say about her, and I can only think of great things to say about her father, because when he ran for president, I had the big event at my hotel, my Marriott down in Lake Mary. I believe that Bob Graham goes down as a guy who got everything right about 9/11, everything right about Saudi Arabia. You know, if you're ready to talk about locking some people out of America, the people who killed Americans are in Saudi Arabia. That's where they live. And Bob Graham told us that. Well, we can't touch them because they got the oil, so we're going to shut down Yemen, wherever the hell that is. But so I can't say that, but I can tell you this. If I did do it, it would be the most courteous time of her life. And I supported her big time when she ran, and I support her when I thought she's going to run again. And I'm a Graham for life. Yeah, so. There's Dave Micah from Florida Blue Key Days. When I was president of Florida Blue Key, he was part of my coalition. Thank you, Dave.
That's it.
That's it.
All right, well, thank you very much.
You've been listening to a delayed broadcast of the February 2nd, 2017 luncheon meeting of the Capitol Tiger Bay Club. This program, featuring prominent Florida trial lawyer and possible Democratic gubernatorial candidate John Morgan, was recorded at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center in Tallahassee. Join us again next time for another Capitol Tiger Bay Club luncheon meeting on WFSU-FM.